Pray, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son and his comforting touch. I pray that you come to the family and friends that are so close to man at this time of sorrow to fill the void that is now in their hearts with your love. I pray for everyone in this audience to listen to the mark, an open ear, and to listen to the love that comes from the speaker. Amen. And the speaker, even though it's me, and the card says Reverend McCurry, scratch. I'm a student of God's Word, and I won't even say that He is the same. This is Ronnie's verse. I'm no stronger to speak at funerals. I'm no stranger to speak at funerals. Having spoken at several down through the past few years for family and close friends. Funerals are never easy since death is the point of man's total weakness. But this one, for me and all my family, hits home the hearts. It's for this reason and the reality of my inability to hold myself together long enough to say what must be said, that I have asked my brother in Christ, Tony McCurry, to read what I, Ronnie McCurry, have written on my own behalf. Mama Ann, as anyone who called her, was not only a true mama to her four kids and our spouses, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, but was a mama to everyone who knew her. Even my dad called her Mama Ann. Her deep love for her husband, her kids, and her family overflowed to anyone who took the time to get to know her. Her was that old-school type of real love that seems to be missing in these latter times. It was only when the various diseases that plagued her in the last few years began to take a toll on her mind and she mind that she ever, even briefly, began to be concerned for herself and her own well-being. Her concern and priority was always for our family and the unity we shared because of her enduring love for all of us. She, along with Dad, was the glue that bound our family together through all our trials, difficulties, and bad times. We have certainly had ours, as all families do. A mother's love is only this strong when that mother knows Christ. And Mom had this covered. Mom was always a believer, and we were all brought up and taught right from wrong. And to conduct our lives as Christ would have us do, she made sure of that. If her correction wasn't enough, she had Dad as her backup. And all us kids knew that, even as we all grew up, got married, and moved on with our adult lives. The bonds of unity that she instilled in us have always remained, even to this day. We kids can lay aside whatever differences we may hold in our individual beliefs and hold firm to the one constant we all hold in common, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because of this love of Christ that Mama Ann held dear that I, as the one child who may understand it best, would like to share with those here today on her behalf. I'm blessed to be able to share this due to my understanding of her faith gained over countless hours of Bible study with Mom and Dad, usually around the kitchen table. Down through all these years, I pray that for a short time here today, whether you agree with what's said or not, that you would bear with me in the unity of Christ as I try to bring Mom's declaration of her faith to the forefront since today is her day. Mama Ann believed in Christ as her personal Savior and that the blood of Christ is sufficient to take away her sins and provide forgiveness. Once and for all, John 3:16 and Ephesians 1:7. She understood that her faith was her own responsibility and that study in the precious Word of God, rightly divided, is the key to understanding it, apart from any denominational boundaries, to Timothy 2:15 and 3:16. She believed that her eternal hope is not associated with the kingdom of God, God promised Israel during the Acts period. But that her hope lies in the later revelation that Christ revealed unto the Apostle Paul concerning the mystery of the one body. Ephesians 3:1-21. She believed that she is complete in Christ, Colossians 2:10, and that her inheritance is to appear with Christ in glory, Colossians 3:1-4. She believed that death is an enemy and in her own mortality in the flesh. But that immortality is possible through Christ's resurrection and that upon her death that she would be asleep in Christ awaiting her call, Corinthians 15:6-5, Philippians 3:10. She believed that for her, whether it be one day or 10,000 years until her resurrection, God will honor that which he has promised his son, which is true faith. If she were here to tell us herself, my hand would encourage all, regardless of your own personal beliefs, creeds, or denominations, to always remember that we hold to the name of Christ, have him as our Savior, regardless of our hope, and to strive among ourselves as believers to be united in Christ as our family thankfully is. My own tears over the last few days since Mama Ann fell asleep in Christ have not been for her, because her battle is over, but selfishly for myself and for my family, because Mom will not be here with us due to the curse of death. As the sting of the curse crept upon her last Wednesday, we all have lovingly watched her take her final breath in this life. I witnessed the pure anguish in the faces of my family as she left us, especially my dad and my sisters, who have labored so hard and so long to keep her clean and comfortable as best they could. This is what love is and what love does. Even when it's not quick, easy, or pretty, it's this love of Christ that soothes the sting of the curse. And I will forever be grateful to them for their labor of love for our mom. In closing, I also want to thank all those who have prayed for mom and for us during this whole time, especially the doctors and nurses of hospice, who have been so thankful, so helpful, kind, and understanding. The outpouring of our family, friends, co-workers, and fellow believers during the visitation last night was a fitting testimony to Mama Ann's life and the unity she has embodied within our family for so long. My prayer is that all may know the peace and joy that the knowledge of Christ brings to our hearts. God bless you all. Honor and courage. And believe, as is everybody that's in the body that was mentioned, is done through right division. We understand there's principles into right division, practical truth, denominational truth, and doctrinal truth. Lord, Father, who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Remember, put Bobby into this place when virtuous woman is mentioned, because she feels this. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like a merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. It was told me last night that she would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and start cooking for dinner. And she wouldn't sit down and eat until everybody else had sat down. And then sometimes we sat down and ate, because she would be giving others nourishment. She considered the field and bathed it with the fruit of her hands. She planted the vineyard. She girded her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the staff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. every family member in Anna's life you cover. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry for her clothing, silk and purple. Her husband is known at the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. I understand that she worked in a clothing manufacturer and made clothing at one time. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she rejoiced in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. And being a virtuous, godly woman with Cecil, raise your family with God. To Christ as the center of their teaching, they can proudly say, all their children know, love, and follow Christ as their Savior, and continue with teaching their children and grandchildren the same virtue. I got to flip over a couple of pages because Ronnie's going to cover some of this. Thank you. When we, as our church, the body of Christ, we don't belong to a traditional church with brick, mortar, and wood. We belong to a church that is made of skin, bone, and spirit. As a man, we meet in homes or community centers like we're going to be doing next weekend. We understand the message was given to Paul from Christ himself to proclaim a mystery that had been hidden from the beginning of the world in God, which is Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory, found only in Ephesians and Colossians. This body was chosen. In Ephesians 1, that you can't find anywhere else in Scripture. Before the catabole of the world that was made. By Jesus Christ, it was sealed. And it can't be broken. This, God recognizes there's no Jew or Gentile anymore, but not any man. The one new man can't be found anywhere in Scripture, in the Gospel, in the Old Testament, in the Bible. It can't be found. Only in Ephesians. This one new man is what makes the Bible. Being members of His church, which Christ is, having the indwelling of Christ with the Holy Spirit constantly. The blessing that we have is that we might not have a traditional church to go to receive Christ's indwelling spirit, because Christ indwells. We recognize that Christ indwells in us constantly. With every blessing that is spiritual that's in the heavens, can't be found anywhere else. Old Testament, Gospel, it can't be found. And awaiting the appearance, Colossians 3:1-4. If ye then, be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things on the above, not things on the earth. for you're dead, and your life is hid in Christ, with Christ, in God. Christ is holding your life in God. What better blessing can you have than that? And here it is, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear in the heavenly. At this point in time, he's hid in God. But when he appears in the heavenlies, your body will appear with him in glory. Bobby Ann Dunphy, she took this to her life. All the members of the body who diligently searched the Word, even to the Greek forms. Within these three, four verses that was mentioned, there are at least a minimum of 60 study hours presented at conferences. A minimum. And I'm probably not even coming close as to the numbers. Because we get into the Greek forms, the way it was originally understood. And can rest with this scripture and know who there is about two parts. 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And as well as all body members, understand the state of the day. We all sleep. When you go to bed at night, you can rest. You don't know how many hours you sleep most of the time. You can just all of a sudden wake up and you have to recalculate yourself as to what day it is. Whether it's daylight or dark. That's then. If you are asleep in Christ, when the resurrection takes place, when the appearing takes place, you're going to awake. The first thing you're going to see is Christ. The believer's hope is in Christ. In Christ alone. Thank you.
service, but anyone is welcome to join them, but that won't take place until after the burial is, if everyone was right.